In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child.
And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in a swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with fear, and the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us."
And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it has been told them.
This morning, I want to challenge you just from God's Word, and I'm going to finish up my sermon series. And you say, "Well, Justin, this is my first time here. I'm a guest. I'm going to catch you up real quick." It's okay. We've been in a series called Symbols of Christmas, and this is only the fourth week, so you hadn't missed too much. We've been talking about how can we take some of the things that we see or the things that we hear perhaps every Christmas season. How can we take those things and make sure that we relate those things back to the Bible? Because I don't know about you, we get caught up in this time of year, and we just kind of get caught up in we do this every year. This is what we do. On this day, we go to this family member's house, and on this, we put up this tree this day. You understand? It can become just a routine. Well, the birth of the Savior is nothing routine. You understand? And so when we look at this story, when we look at Scripture, my prayer through this series is that you would look at the things that may happen routinely and look at them in a new light. We talked about a couple of things. The first thing we talked about was angels. And this is the time of year that you see an angel maybe on the top of your tree, or maybe in a nativity scene, or maybe just on a cutout on a building somewhere. And I wanted you to remember, when you see an angel, that was a symbol of God in his divinity visiting history and interjecting himself into history and saying to us, "I'm sending my son to be the Savior of the world." That was the message of the angels. The week after that, we talked about Christmas music, which I love Christmas music, and there's a lot of great songs out there, but sometimes we just get them in our head and we don't think about what they say or what they mean. And we looked at Mary's song in Luke chapter 1, and Mary, after the angel had visited her, couldn't help but to pour out praise because her heart was filled with the things of God, and she praised God for his might and for his mercy. And I said, "Hey, I want you to praise God when you sing Christmas songs this season. I want you to praise God. He is mighty and he is merciful." And last week we talked about one of my favorites. We talked about Christmas lights. several of you tagged me on Facebook that you went down to White Settlement Road and watched the Christmas lights with the Go With The Music. Thank you for that. The neighbors probably will be looking for me later for sending all that traffic down there. But if you like Christmas lights, they're great. I challenged you last week out of John chapter 1 to remember that lights were beautiful, but the true light, which gives life to every man, was coming into the world. And I asked you, when you look at Christmas lights, to think about the true light, the light of the world. This week, I wrote this one first. You think, well, Justin, I don't know what else you can come up with besides the nativity scene. You would be correct. That is what we're going to talk about today. What better day to talk about the nativity scene? Now, nativity scenes come in all shapes and sizes. You may have had a nativity scene at your home that was made of precious stone, or maybe you had one that was made of some kind of crystal, or it was handcrafted, maybe hand-carved by someone that meant a lot to you and your family. This is the nativity scene that I had at my house. Yep, made of plastic. It does have glitter on the roof, and I love Google Images. Sometimes it doesn't let me down. This week, I Googled plastic nativity scene. This is the exact one we had in the late 70s, okay? Exactly. In the box and all. Every year, it lost a little glitter off the roof, you know? But I remember it set in our home every year. I would bet my mom still has it. I should ask her about that. I bet she still has it. A plastic nativity scene. I remember where it sat. I remember we couldn't touch it. I remember it. You may have had a different one. Yours may have looked different, but I bet maybe if you think about it, you can think about a place in your home or your grandparents' home where you see that nativity scene. Can you see it? It takes you back to a place and it takes you back to a time, but it also takes us way back in time, doesn't it, to a humble beginning. You know what happened to cause the birth of a Savior in a manger, in a cave? There was no room, was there? There was no room in the inn. And let me just share with you today, before we get into God's Word for just a moment, we live in a world today where many tell Him that there's no room. There's no room for a Savior. There's no room for Him in my life, and there's no room for Him in my heart. I simply have too many things going on. And so when we look at nativity today, God orchestrated perfectly this birth. God orchestrated perfectly all that was to happen. But I pray that it reminds us that it is time to welcome Him in and welcome His birth. I invite you, if you have your Bible, to open it back up to Luke chapter 2. The Judkins family, my friends, the Judkins did a wonderful job reading the scripture for us this morning. I will not read it in its entirety again. We will refer back to it. So I'd like you to just keep your Bible open, if you would, and look through it as we talk through what's going on here in the story. We talked about Mary singing her song of praise, and what happens next in Luke chapter 1 is John the Baptist is born, as was promised. His father Zechariah is able to speak again, and he prophesies. John the Baptist begins to grow up and live out in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Savior. And at this point, we find Luke chapter 2, where the king is born. Many of you know the story well. You may have memorized it from the Charlie Brown Christmas special, or you may have learned it from I Remember My Poppy when I was a boy. Had a special leather chair that he sat in every Christmas. It was in his living room, and he read from the King James Version this story every year. I remember it well. And I remember sometimes, this is where confession comes in. As a child, I thought, Poppy, read faster. The presents are waiting. You understand, right? We understand sometimes they just become words to us. Church, this morning, they are more than words. They are God Himself revealing Himself to the world, to humanity. And so we see a historical setting, we see a birth, and then we see an angelic announcement. That's kind of the three pieces that we see in this picture, and you may be familiar with these, but what I want to draw to your attention today is the fact that Luke begins his gospel here in chapter 1 and verses 2 by setting the stage for who Jesus Christ is going to be, what he is going to do, what he is going to fulfill. He does this in a couple of ways that begin to show themselves here. One of the ways he does this is with names or with titles. Names and titles are important, and you see in the story and you hear in the story that the Judkins read, we see Jesus, we see Lord, we see Christ. Verse 11 is probably the most clear thing from that, and you see that here if you look in front of you. Verse 11 says that, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." You see that Savior, Christ and Lord. And David's going to begin, I'm sorry, Luke is going to begin to show over and over again in his gospel that Jesus is the fulfillment of all of these beautiful names that have been promised throughout history. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior. He is the Lord. He was born in a city called Bethlehem. And you think, well, how did a carpenter from Nazareth and his wife get to a city like Bethlehem? That's not where they were from. And yet we see that there was this census that was to be taken by this one named Caesar Augustus. And you may not know a lot about Caesar Augustus, but God in his infinite wisdom orchestrated all of this perfectly. Micah chapter 5 verse 2 said the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. And that did happen. How? Because God is sovereignly in control of all things. And let me tell you, Caesar Augustus thought he was to be a god. He wanted to be worshipped. He wanted people to bow down to him. He was a Roman leader, you may know, and yet he thought he would deify himself. He would make himself a god. And so he oppressed the people and taxed them. And he taxed a young carpenter named Joseph. I don't think he knew Joseph, do you? He just taxed him and said, "You go to your city where your family is from." And Joseph was from the city of David, the city of Bethlehem. And so he had to go there with his very pregnant wife, a poor man and a poor woman riding on a donkey. And God used pagan Caesar Augustus so that scripture could be fulfilled. Do you see how God's sovereignty is in all things, and he wills and wants things to happen even through the ways of the world? You know what's funny? Caesar Augustus wanted to be a god, wanted to be worshipped, but I haven't met anybody recently who's celebrating him, have you? And yet today we stand here today and we worship the one that was born, don't we? It's funny how the folly of the world, the greatness of the world, leads usually to downfall. The lowly birth of a king we worship and celebrate today. Isn't that a picture of nativity? You know, nativity really just means to be born, to come into being. And yet there was nothing normal about this coming into being, was there? Sure, I bet Mary and Joseph would have preferred a nice room, maybe a suite at the Radisson, you know? And yet they couldn't find a place. And yet, as God perfectly orchestrated, that's where the baby was to be born. Another theme that Luke expands on that begins right here in front of us is the fact that the people who were present during that birth were normal, everyday people. Don't you love the human part of this story? It's just shepherds and animals and just normal, right? There was no fanfare. There were no kings. There were no rulers there. And the whole Gospel of Luke, indeed all of the Gospels and the story of Jesus, talk about how Jesus was for the normal and for the everyday, right? Those who humble themselves and realize their need for him, that's the ones who he comes to. Not that Jesus can't save the rich or Jesus can't save the powerful, but he revealed himself, didn't he, to the lowly and the humble. I love the shepherds part of this story. I told you one time I got to play in a play and I had to be the innkeeper. It was the only line I had, you know, was the no room. I always wanted to be a shepherd because didn't they have a great part of the story? God reveals himself to these guys out in the field and they run with haste to see the king. Dr. Luke, who wrote the gospel here, does a great job of showing us a very human story, doesn't he? With a bunch of human characters, with a bunch of normal problems and normal situations. Could you imagine knowing that your wife was about to give birth and that you had to travel and then you couldn't find a place to stay? And yet you did what you had to do to welcome this baby boy into the world. The Savior, as you know, was God and man. In the mystery of all the things that are sometimes difficult for us to understand, he was both fully God and fully man. He did not lay aside his godness, but he did lay aside his glory, didn't he? He could have been born in a host of angels. He could have been born in anything you could have imagined, and yet he laid aside his glory. Caesar should have been there. Caesar Augustus should have been there worshiping him. He was not. No, Jesus laid aside his glory. And as we mentioned last week, he became flesh and dwelt among us. That's what I love about the nativity scene. When I think about that little plastic thing, or I think about that scene maybe that you have in your mind, what I love about it is the simplicity of it. This was a miracle, wasn't it? It was a miracle that only God could do, and yet the entrance was simple. Yet it changed the world, folks. It changed the world in its simplicity, didn't it? In a world where we complicate everything and we make everything difficult, it seems, doesn't it? The Savior came. I want to leave you with something to take today. You know this story, so I'm not going to reteach the whole story. But what I want to do is think back over the last few weeks, and especially today, and give you a prayer, a nativity prayer today. Just a prayer for you in today and tomorrow and the days to come, where you can say, when I think of or when I see a nativity scene, or when God brings the nativity to my mind, what can I pray? And I'll give you four things today, and I pray that these would be helpful to you as you consider. The first thing is simply this: Lord, open my mind to your wonder. Do you understand that the Christmas story is a wonder? Do you understand that it's extraordinary in its simplicity? The word wonder in the scripture here is also translated amazed. Lord, open my mind and to be amazed by you. Open my mind like the shepherds. Well, something's happening here. The angels are in the sky. I don't even know how those guys would have processed that, right? They see the angels and they see something. But instead of worrying, they said, let's go see this thing which has happened. Church, in a world where skepticism reigns, does skepticism reign? Do you believe somebody? Anytime somebody comes up to you, I'm this way, I'm like, what do they want from me? Okay? What do they want? Not you people. I'm talking about other people outside, okay? I love you all. No. Other people outside. I mean, but you wonder, what are people? We are skeptical, aren't we, of things? Listen. This is truth. This is absolute truth. And you need to open your mind to the wonder of the fact that this God, this Jesus, is all that he said he was and can be all that he said he was going to be in your life and in your heart. So open your mind this Christmas season to his wonder. Allow his wonder to fill your heart and to fill your mind. And be amazed by the life change that he brings. Second part of the prayer, Lord, open my ears to your voice. Does anybody have trouble finding quiet? Does anybody? Yes, you do, don't you? I feel like I'll do this. I'll go to have quiet somewhere. But I forget to take that horrible device out of my pocket that I carry around with me. You guys know what I'm talking about? Sure enough, as soon as I think I'm in quiet, what happens? You know, legs, ding, ding, all the things are going off. We struggle, don't we, to get peace. And we wonder why it's so hard to hear God's voice sometimes. We wonder why it's so difficult to hear from Him. I pray, as you would pray this, Lord, open my ears to your voice. You know, the beautiful part of the Christmas story was Mary and Joseph were visited by the angel, weren't they? They were visited. They got this crazy message. Hey, you're going to have a baby. I know you've never been with a man, but you're going to have a baby. Hey, Joseph, your wife's pregnant. It's not yours. It's okay, though. And they heard, and then what do? They obeyed. They trusted. And I don't know what God's telling you, but the truth is, sometimes we get so busy that we don't even listen for Him or even attempt to hear from Him. Make that your prayer today. Make that your prayer tomorrow. Open your ear. Make that your prayer the rest of this year. Start the new year listening for His voice. You find Him in His Word. You find Him in a relationship with Him. You find Him in the preaching and the proclamation of His Word. Lord, open my ears to your voice. Hebrews chapter 1 says this to us. Long ago, at many times, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Now listen to verse 2. But in these last days, that's today, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom He also created the world. If you're here last week, John chapter 1, we talked about He was an agent of creation. He has been and will be forevermore. Lord, open my ears to your voice. It's the only voice that is worth hearing. Thirdly, we pray, Lord, open my heart to your love. What is your heart? It is who you are, isn't it? It is the being of all that the Bible says to us, that out of our heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. Do you understand? It's may who we're made up of. And like some people in the story, I want you to remember to open your heart to God's love. Mary's the prime example of this. What does Mary do? Could you imagine Mary? Just a young girl, and the baby's born, and there's visitors coming to see you, and you're a mom. I know sometimes after the baby's born, the moms are like, I'd really rather not have any company right now. And yet all these people come, the shepherds, and worship. And what does Mary do? Remember that part of the story? She ponders them. She treasures them in where? In her heart. King Herod is introduced to us a little bit later, and we learn something about his heart. The Bible says that his heart was hard. He had a hard heart. And I'll tell you, I if you're honest, sometimes Christmas can give us the hard heart, isn't it, if we approach it the wrong way. If you went to the store yesterday, your heart may be hard. Okay? It could be. I didn't go anywhere yesterday. My heart is filled with joy. See? I'm telling you, you understand that this is the time of year that, God, we pray you would open our heart to your love. You may need to love on somebody in your family this week, today, who you've been hardened against. Somebody may need to love on you and make sure that you understand. This is a great time for us to understand the love of a Savior and the love that He calls us to have for each other. And then lastly, here's the prayer. Lord, open my life to your presence. We live in a place, guys, where we are socially connected, and we got friends, and we got acquaintances all over the place. But to let somebody in sometimes is difficult for us, isn't it? To really let somebody in. I mean, to let somebody see the parts of you that you don't let everybody see. Well, as important it is to do that with human people, I'm going to tell you, this Christmas season, I'm going to invite you to allow the Savior in. Allow His light to shine into your life and into your presence. What I mean by presence is let Him into all that you are. There's a story a little bit later in this chapter, we won't read it today, about an old man named Simeon. Simeon believed that before he died, he prayed, Lord, let me see the Savior. Let me see the Messiah. And Jesus goes to the temple. His parents take him there, and guess who finds him there? Simeon. And he gets the baby and he exclaims, this is the one. Lord, thank you for allowing me to see the Messiah, the Savior. Open your life to His presence. For you see, His light and His life shines life into darkness and into coldness and into hardness. And I know in a room this size and filled with people, we have a diverse crowd of visitors and family and guests and everyone here today, and I love it, and that's great. But I want to ask you to remember something. When you think of nativity and you think of all that it means, all that His coming means, I want you to make Him room. I want you to make Him room this season. I would bet that you've spent a lot of this year filling your time and filling your heart with a lot of stuff. And it's probably good stuff, work and life and kids, and those are not bad things in and of themselves. They're all wonderful things. But I want you to make room for the Savior in your life. Make room for the King in your heart. And the beautiful part about a God that is big and sovereign over all of creation is that He knows exactly what it is that you need, and exactly what it is that you've hidden, even though you think you've hidden it. And you think, I can't do this, I can't let Him in, there's no room, I'm too full. I don't think you'll ever understand what true freedom means until you surrender your life to the Savior. And I know you say, well, I can't fathom how I could fit anything else. I can't fathom how I could do anything else. I'm already too full of everything. Then go back to point number one of my prayer. Be amazed at the wonder and the beauty of the King and all that He offers to you. So we're going to close a little different today. Instead of just a regular invitation, I hope you got a candle, right? You should have got a candle. It's not a real candle. You can't burn yourself. It's good. Okay, it's electric. We're going to sing Silent Night together here in just a moment. But listen, I don't want you to just sing it. You can sing it out loud. I invite you to sing with all your heart. But I want you to think on these things. I want you to pray on this prayer. And I don't want you to leave this place if you need to talk to somebody too, okay? My prayer partners at the end of the service and during the song will be at these tables. They will stay after the service if you want to talk. If you just want somebody to pray for you, come up and let somebody pray for you today. What better day than to have somebody pray over you? If you want to understand more what it means to be a Christian, a child of God, go talk to them. Come find me. I want to talk to you today about how you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ, how He can forgive you of your sins and give you a new life. So yeah, we're going to stand and sing. Yes, we're going to worship Him. But here's the thing. You may need to do something else. Don't leave today without being obedient to God. Let Him work in your life today. And I pray when you leave this place, take that light with you. No, don't take the candle. Leave that here. Take the light that's inside of you. And take that with you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You. The light has come. The true light, which gives light to every man, is indeed here. Lord, I pray in this place that You might show Your wonder and amaze us, Lord, with who You are. There may be someone here today that needs to meet the Savior. I pray that they would step out in obedience and in faith and come speak to someone about that. Lord, I pray today that You would encourage those of us who are in Christ Father, that we might leave this place, that we might leave this building, knowing that we can rest in you, Father. We can rest in your love, and we can, Lord, invite your presence in. And Lord, we pray that our heart is filled with love and that we're amazed by you. God, we don't want this just to be another day. Lord, we pray this is a day that we celebrate our Savior, our King, our Messiah. So let us sing this song, Lord, with glad hearts. Let it be our song of praise to you this morning. For we pray it in Jesus' name.